characters for today's story. First of all, help me welcome the father. Come on, Pastor Jeff Carter, who will be the father today. Full disclosure, if you were to bet on which one of these three individuals was more inclined to party. Well, Pastor Jeff, party animal indeed. Oh, boy. Oh, we got to go. And then we have the older son, Pastor Elijah Lewis. Come on, give it up for Pastor Elijah, the older son. And we have the younger son. Give it up for Pastor Nathan. What a story. This is the tension between a father and two sons that Jesus lays out. The classic parable. Luke 15 is arguably one of the five most important chapters in all of Scripture. According to some that evaluate the net worth of a chapter as it pertains to offering a plan of salvation, giving us clarity regarding our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because it's the chapter of the lost things. So the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. But this story is so dynamic. It's his relationship with him, his relationship with him, what takes place in this beautiful outline of the family. I love this. You heard the story. He read it. This guy comes up. The younger one. Oh, the younger one. If you're the youngest in your family, out of your siblings, raise your hand. Thank you for all the therapy. I'm the youngest in my, all right, we'll put that as this. True story. There it is. But why do they always say the youngest are spoiled? Like not, I mean. If you're the first child, raise your hand. You were the experiment. Do you understand that? Your parents had no idea what to do. You came along. By the last kid, they got it together. You follow what I'm saying? That first child is the one still going through anointed therapy sessions. And the last one gets spoiled. And they say because the parents got better, right? No. It's because by the third kid, the fourth kid, the second kid, the parents just don't care. All right. So, well, can I say something that'll get us all in trouble? Do you mind? I don't mean to do this. I promise you it's not my intention. It's not even in the script. I didn't even do it in the first two services. I just want to give you an advice as we talk about parenting. Don't let Disney parent your kids. Don't let Google parent your kids. Don't let the government parent your kids. You are the number one person responsible for your children growing up with the values that they need to hold on in order for them to see the fullness of what God has for them. Are you with me right now? We need Christian parents to be Christian parents and rise up and educate their children with the values that the Word of God gives us. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah, let it go. All right. So this guy comes up and says, this is right here, says, I want my, go ahead, dude.
I want my stuff.
Where are you from, Modesto? What just happened? I want my stuff. All right. You get, no, I need some Auburn version of that.
I would like my inheritance, please.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I mean.
I would like my inheritance, please.
So he asks for his inheritance, the promise. He goes up to dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance. By the way, typically, you get your inheritance, the kids get their inheritance when the parents,
all the sophisticated people, passed away.
Anybody else? Die. I love A Tale of Two Cities. You got to love this. So he says, you're still alive. You're not dead, but I want my stuff. I want my inheritance. He gives it to him. The young one. He gives it to him.
He demanded the promise. He demanded the blessing, the inheritance. He received it, and the outcome was what?
Disastrous.
Why? He wasn't prepared for the promise. He wanted the promise, but what he truly needed was preparation. You must be prepared for what you're asking for. This young brother wasn't ready. This is the tension between preparation and the promise. How many stories have we heard of lottery winners, sports figures, artists who acquire large sums of money and fall into the trap of addiction, vice, perversion, and self-destruction? Why? Just like the prodigal son, they received what they wanted instead of what they needed. He wanted the blessing, but he lacked self-control. He wanted the promise, but he lacked self-discipline. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, a dream without a plan is an illusion. Destiny without discipline is a recipe for disaster. Do not ask for something you're not ready for. Premature access to resources will do more harm than good. Are you getting this? I'm being real. Simply stated, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for what he was asking for. And some of you all, even in the church environment, God, give me this, give me this, give me this. God, why are you waiting? And God says, you're not ready to manage, to handle, to carry what you're asking for. Mark 2:22. No one puts new wine into old, for the wine would burst the wineskins. You may have the right anointing, but if you have the wrong attitude, your assignment will burst. I'll repeat that. You may have the right anointing, but if you have the wrong attitude, your assignment will burst. You may have the gift, but the gift without the grace of God will result in humiliation and disaster. So here's the first lesson from the story. Get ready. Be ready. Stay ready. Look at your neighbor nicely and tell him, get ready. Be ready. Stay ready. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Your character has to be ready for the calling. Your integrity has to be ready for the influence. Your mind has to be ready for the idea. Your testimony has to be ready for the title. I want to speak to all the people that took advantage of the past 2 years. The past two COVID years, coronavirus years, pandemic years, cuckoo for Cocoa Puff years. These past 2 years, there are two types of people in this auditorium and streaming. There are the kind of people that took the last 2 years to binge on Netflix. And then there are the kind of people that said, wait a minute, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to take advantage of this season to let God do what he has to do in my life, because I know what's coming my way will shift my destiny forevermore. So to everyone here who got ready, if for everyone here who spent the past 2 years in a season of alignment and preparation, if you believe the past 2 years for you were a time where God lined up your character to match your calling, your integrity to match your influence, your mind to handle the ideas, oh, I got this. For all of these people who took advantage of the past 2 years where you actually prayed, God, get rid of whatever you have to get rid of. Did anybody make that crazy prayer in the past 2 years? Did anyone in the past 2 years say, God, do what you got to do, because when this thing is over, as for me and my house, we're going to occupy more promises than ever before. If that's you, put a smile on your face and a shout on your lip. How many are ready? You may have not been ready 7 years ago, but you're ready now. Is there anybody here who can bear witness? I wasn't ready 10 years ago, but I'm ready now. I wasn't ready 7 years ago, but I'm ready now. I wasn't ready 5 years ago, but I'm ready now. I wasn't ready 3 years ago, but I'm ready now. How many can even say, I wasn't ready 2 years ago, but I'm ready now? Is there anyone here ready to occupy all of God's promises? All the ready people, lift up your hands. How many are even grateful for what you went through? How many are grateful for what you went through, because what you went through got you ready for everything? Anybody here got ready? How many here can even bear witness that everything the devil sent your way, God turned it around to develop you? and to get you ready for what's coming next. If you believe you're about to see the glory of God in you, with you, for you, and through you like never before, praise like you're ready. Come on, Sacramento, shout like you're ready. Worship like you're ready. Lift up your hands like you're ready. Are you ready to occupy God's promises? The hell I went through got me ready for the glory that's coming my way. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. It is that tension between preparation and promise. Number two, it is the tension between your promise and the Father's presence. So many would argue that his failure was he asked for his inheritance ahead of time. So what if I tell you that that's not necessarily the case? I'll prove it. When he asked for the inheritance, the Father not only gave him his inheritance, the Bible says, them. Oh, you missed it. They both ended up with the promise. This guy didn't end up like this guy. This guy took the promise. You know what he did? A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and he moved to Oregon. I'm telling you, Portland will mess you up. He wasted all his money, I'm just reading it, in wild living. He went far away, so far away. Remember that? They never let me sing here. Thank you, I'm here all week. It wasn't that he got the inheritance. He left his father's presence. He ran with the promise, but he left the presence behind. This is when we fail. When we think we could run with the blessing without the blesser. When we have the gift, but we ignore the grace. There are people, I want to occupy the promised land without having a relationship with the promise keeper. So he literally took the inheritance, the money. Go ahead, wild living. He just left. You high-five the prodigal son? Who does that? He just left. Where is he going? Look at that.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
The psalmist said this. The psalmist said, one thing I've asked of the Lord.
This is what I seek most. It's to live in the presence of the Lord, the house of the Lord, all the days of my life. The younger son became a prodigal, not when he asked for the promise ahead of schedule, but when he left his father's presence. This is what happens when you get away from your heavenly father's presence. This is what happens. Nothing is more important than the presence of our heavenly father. Let me repeat that. Nothing is more important than the presence of our Heavenly Father. The promises of God and the presence of God are inseparable. You need to understand that. Please, please forgive me, but I have to tell you this. Just like the prodigal son, there are people that want heaven without holiness. Forgiveness without faith. They want joy without the Holy Spirit. And they want peace without the presence of the one who said, "Peace, be still." You can't separate the promise from the presence. I said you can't separate the promise from the presence. You can't separate the gift from the grace, the blessing from the blesser. So many people want breakthrough without letting God break the old version of you. Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promises. Hebrews 10:23. The moment you take the gift away from the glory, the asset becomes a liability. The blessing becomes a burden, and the promise becomes a problem. But here's the remedy. Your capacity to manage the promises of God is directly proportional to the amount of time you spend in the presence of God. Can you get that? The more time you spend in God's presence, the more successful you will be in managing his promises. Don't get away from the presence of God. The presence of God changes everything. He wanted the promise without the presence of the Father. You missed it. The Father is your promise. I'm going to get in trouble now, even online. I'm going to get some hate mail. I'm going to do it. Stop praying for cars. Stop praying for jewelry. Stop praying for houses. Pray to be in the Father's presence. Oh. Let me say it again. Pray to be in the Father's presence all the days of your life. There is nothing like the presence of our Heavenly Father. Pastor Sam, are you saying God doesn't provide any of that? Of course he does. But that follows you. It's his presence. How many know the presence of God changes everything? How many truly know that God's presence changes everything? How many know there's nothing like the presence of our Heavenly Father? I know some of you are saying, but Pastor Sam, all of God's, say it, all of God's promises are, we even sing it, ready? All of God's promises are, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't, but we sing it. The Bible doesn't say, all of God's promises are yes and amen. If we put a period there, that's biblically incorrect. The Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 19 and 20, does not say all of God's promises are yes and amen. It said all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You missed it. In him. I said in him. I said in him. Not in your ability, but in him. Not in your contacts, but in him. Not in your bank account, but in him. Not in your job, but in him. Not in your relationship, but in him. Not in your potential, but in him. In Jesus, there is fullness of joy. In Jesus, you are blessed and highly favored. In Jesus, your family will be saved. In Jesus, the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. In him. In him you have abundant life. In him you have new life. In him your wounds are healed. In him your sins are forgiven. In him your past cannot stop you. In him you're anointed and appointed. In him you are multi-generationally blessed. In him, the new you is alive and the old you is dead. In him, you are called and chosen. In him, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. In him, you are the head and not the tail. In him, you go from glory to glory. And in him, we live. I said, in him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. Are there any people in this house who are in Jesus? In him, the tension, don't separate. Do not separate the promise from the presence. You can't. There are people that come to church and go, God, I want a brand new job. And they walk into church with great due deference. No disrespect, but they walk into church first time, God, I want a brand new job. And then once they get the job and get the income and get everything, all of a sudden, they just separate from body and fellowship and church because they got what they wanted. And like the prodigal son, they weren't ready to manage it because they separated the presence from the promise. You follow that? God, my last relationship went, and I want you to give me someone new in my life. And once you get that someone new, you don't fellowship. You ignore it. And then all of a sudden, you end up like the prodigal son. And you question, what happened? What happened is that you left the presence of the Father. About the last point is the tension between your hunger and the Father's love. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he, the prodigal son, began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. This young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. He asked, I'm hungry! And no one fed him. No one fed him. When he finally came to his senses, because hunger will prompt you to come to your senses. Have you ever been so hungry that you saw what you did not see before and you heard what you not could hear? I know it sounds counterintuitive, but I praise God for the season where no one gave me anything. Some of you don't understand that. That's too radical for you. But there comes a time where no one will help you. No one will pick you up. No one will lift you up. And then you lift up your head. Where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, the Maker. Anybody been there? Anybody hit rock bottom? Have you, it doesn't have to be financially, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Have you ever hit rock bottom? Sometimes you will never discover the rock until you hit rock bottom. I praise God that I hit rock bottom. I wouldn't be here right now if in a season of my life I didn't hit rock bottom. Oh, this guy was so hungry because hunger makes you do strange things. Hunger makes you do strange things. The Bible says he was so hungry that he came to his senses. I'm going to flip this in a positive light. We're about to see a hungry generation rise up. Oh, you missed it. We are about to see a hungry millennials, Generation Z, and the Alpha generation will be the hungriest generations in the history of mankind. I promise you, you're about to see generations so hungry, they're going to look up and they're going to say, ah, we're going back to our Father's house. We're going back to our Father's house. There are things that only God can provide, only things that God can do. I need you to get ready. Your prodigal sons and daughters are coming back home. I gotta calm down. No, I don't. He said, I'm dying of hunger. And when he finally came to his senses, he said, I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and I will confess. Repentance works.
Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, I will tell him. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Take me on as a hired servant. So he started going home. Come here, Dad. And while he was still far away, he was far away. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Oh, you missed it. He was broke, busted, and disgusted. He was hungry, hanging around pigs. He hit rock bottom. Whoa, oh, oh. But when he was far away, the father saw him coming, because the father will always recognize his child. You're not getting this. He may have been broken, but he was still his son. He may have been lost, but he was still his son. He may have slept with prostitutes, but he was still. He may have wasted his inheritance, but he was still his son. He was dirty both internally and externally, but he was still his son. Because a prodigal son is still a son. Because a broken daughter is still a daughter. Because the father looks at the son and says, there's nothing you could possibly do that will stop you from being my son. Is there anyone here grateful for the love of God?
Sam Rodriguez, best-selling author, film producer, and pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, has a new book, Persevere with Power: What Heaven Starts, Hell Cannot Stop.
Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're going to go from a plow to a mantle, and you're going to walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus.
Order this book now, and while supplies last, receive a free gift by emailing your receipt to books@newseasonworship.org.